Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. Today's podcast is number 16, February 21st, 2006. I'll be joined by my co-host, Steve Faub. Desiree is on assignment. Steve?
This F1 Weekly podcast is brought to you by Yahoo Ads. Yahoo Ads provides you, the F1Weekly.com web surfer, with ads that interest you. From Momo shift knobs to rental cars in Indianapolis, Yahoo Ads get you the stuff you really want. Click on them. You know you want to.
Thank you, Steve. Keep up the good work. Well, Super Aguri just came out of the closet today, meaning that the car was out on the track in Spain, in Barcelona.
And promptly into the gravel trap?
Quickly in the gravel trap with some hydraulic problems. I think they accomplished 12 laps. And according to the clock, they were 12 seconds behind Weber's quickest lap. Weber was flying today for Williams.
Yeah, it could be that Aguri really wasn't putting anything to it yet. So,
you mean to Kumisato?
Yeah.
Of course. No, I'm sure they were just hoping that the thing would make it around the track. I did like how it looked. It's got the high nose of the older cars. And it reminded me of the 90s, late 90s Williams and Benetton. With the high nose, I always like that. So I call it the retro package.
The retro package. Yeah, that's a good way to put it, since it's pretty much, what, 3 years old, 4 years old?
But a lot of people are questioning whether they should have come into the 2006 season or should they have waited until 2007 and gotten their act together with their own chassis instead of coming in with the Arrows A23 from 2002 and waiting until the European Grand Prix come up to have their own car. I don't know. I think it's a mistake. I think they're going to be lagging. And now the FIA has imposed 110% rule, even though I'm not sure I understand the rule completely. And if anybody out there does, please email us at f1weekly.com and let us know, because I'm a little bit in the dark on what the 110% rule means. But in the old days, when we had the 107% rule, sometimes the back markers didn't make the cut during qualifying.
So that means they'd be off the grid.
Correct.
That would stink.
Yeah.
Well, Aguri, if they're far enough back, are going to be off the grid.
I don't know. Williams was looking good today. Suddenly, McLaren is looking great. They did some long runs a couple of days ago, and Renault took note of it. And certainly is much more aware that now they believe their biggest competition is going to be Honda, number one, McLaren, number two, Ferrari, number three. Even though Ferrari has had some major problems, the Bahrain test.
And the fact that they have run out of parts.
Well, they ran out of replacement parts. I'm sure the factory's racing to catch up, but I'm sure Schumacher is quite frustrated. I don't know. I don't even know what to think. Sometimes these teams are sandbagging. We only have two more weeks before the first race.
There was also a hint, too, that Ferrari was having a little bit of trouble with overheating
of really?
The V8. Yeah, I caught just a sentence on that. So that may have been part of the reason they pulled out, because they had run out of radiator-related components to try to make good on that.
Fascinating. Well, I'm sure they have different sizes, oil coolers of different sizes. And it's got to be a strange issue. But the F248, even Ross Brawn admitted the other day that it's not up to par.
We'll see if they can iron out their challenges before the first race.
I don't know. It's too close.
Less than a month.
I think the best thing, less than a month, 2 weeks, March 12th, gentlemen. So anyway, there you have it. Bernie's been talking about he's thinking of looking into bringing the United States Grand Prix to Las Vegas, which is, for me, is just it sounds absolutely horrible. But I think, people are saying that means he's in negotiations, but Tony George says they have said nothing. Tony George says they are not in negotiations, and Tony George doesn't intend to negotiate until after the July 2nd U.S. Grand Prix to see how that turns out.
See whether anybody shows up.
Exactly. And I'm hoping the turnout is good. And let me encourage you folks out there, this could be the last U.S. Grand Prix at Indy. And if you've never been to Indianapolis, you should go. It's a wonderful place. And I'd hate to see it move to a different location, especially the streets of Las Vegas. We all know how hideous the last Las Vegas race was. Pretty dreadful in the parking lot of the MGM Grand. And I don't know, I just can't see that happening. But there you have it. Christian Kleen seems to have gotten in a little bit of trouble.
Yeah, I noticed that he apparently his name has shown up on the police blotter.
Exactly. Well, he wasn't arrested or anything, but he's accused of an assault at some weird discotheque. But he denies everything.
Maybe he was just doing the bump and hustle.
I don't know. But you certainly don't want to be distracted at this time of the season, right before you go into race peak mode. I don't recommend it to anybody. Like I said earlier, Williams is looking really, really good. The Cosworth is proven not only dependable, but quick. And people are underestimating Williams this year because they were thinking this is just going to be a dull year until they get the Toyota Lexus badged motor situated for next year, 2007. But I'm hoping they stick with Cosworth if they get good results and forget Toyota.
Would be a good choice, in my opinion. I think that we need an independent engine manufacturer to go with all the independent teams.
Yeah, I'd hate to see somebody like Cosworth fade away. At least, I mean, I know they're in they're building the cars for Champ Car, the engines for Champ Car, I believe, because now that company is owned by one of the Champ Car execs. I don't have the name, but if you go to mechaofspeed.com,
they'll have it.
They'll fill you in on all the details. But there you have it. Williams is flying. And there was another Williams story about Patrick Head having to, as they say in England, a bollocking of Weber. Apparently Weber was sort of a pain in the ass. And they had to sit him down because when he came to Williams, he expected to win. And apparently those were delusions of grandeur. So Patrick Head had a talk with him and calmed him down a bit. So I think Weber is going to be more of an even-tempered person this season.
Well, if that Cosworth keeps putting out, he's going to be a real happy camper.
I concur. I concur. Another interesting piece of news today, well, it could have came out yesterday, is Nigel Mansell, who I don't think I've ever heard him speak about Villeneuve in a good light. But I'm a Villeneuve fan, and he's saying there could be some surprises with Jacques this year, especially if he's got BMW's backing. I tend to agree with him. If the BMW performs as well as it should, and it should outperform the McLaren motor this year because that thing has been nothing but trouble.
Yeah, well, the McLaren's reliability is going to be, again, the bugaboo for McLaren this year,
I agree.
I'm sure.
And if I see Mario Thiessen very glad to be able to beat McLaren, at least in a few races. And I can see it happening.
Oh, easily.
Jacques Villeneuve is a great driver if he's got the support from the whole team.
And BMW Sauber's been kind of quiet through most of the preseason.
You're right.
They haven't been really grabbing any headlines.
Nope.
Which,
just doing
know,
their
which
work.
I'm sure they're really happy about because it kind of keeps them in the background.
Exactly. No politics over there. It's pretty much nose to the grindstone. But yeah, so Villeneuve tipped as the 06 surprise. I like it. I certainly hope something like that happens. Also, I suggest people go to the United States Grand Prix website. I think it's usgpindy.com. Email them.
Actually, I would like to. Perfect segue, Clark.
Thank you.
There is now a Indy page off of our links page. USGP.com is one. The United States Grand Prix is one of those links.
Yeah, go to the links page and you can click on the U.S.
Right
Grand Prix.
Right at the top of the links page is
exactly
Indianapolis U.S. Grand Prix page, and you can go in there. And we've got several links. A couple of I found an interesting satellite shot picture of the track, which is kind of neat, and then kind of a track map from last year's race, kind of pointing out where all the restrooms and the concession stands and all that good stuff are.
Well
and,
done.
And then a couple of other miscellaneous things related to that. And we're trying to get a travel sponsor to get on that page so that people can actually link in and make their travel arrangements through that particular affiliate.
Very good. Yeah, we're deeply involved in encouraging racing fans to go to the race, especially since this could be our last race. You don't want to miss it. Trust me, this will... If it goes to anywhere like the streets of San Francisco, this, I know Bernie wants it going right down the strip in Vegas. Flashing lights, but in terms of television, it'll be wonderful. But for people who attend the race, I think Vegas would be a big mistake, and I'm sure it's a ploy to get Tony George to change his mind. But if it fails, please go to the race. I think you'll enjoy it. And we're going to try to put together some kind of party where we're staying. We're staying at the Holiday Inn at the airport. Anybody is happy to go there, ask for Clark Rogers, the host of F1Weekly.com. And hey, you could buy me lunch or something. I'm always prepared for that.
Always prepared for someone to buy us lunch.
Absolutely. We're always on a budget here at F1Weekly.com. Let's talk a little bit more about Ferrari and their problems, Bahrain. I mean, what's up with this lack of parts?
Well, it took them, two extra weeks to get the second car on
the track?
That's
true, but still, that's not Ferrari. I mean, last year they had the second largest budget. Some of the budget numbers came out with Toyota spending $500 million.
Which was, of the total, that was like a little less than a quarter of the entire money spent in F1.
When Renault rounded out at $270 million. Ferrari was at like 200. It was a little over 400. I believe 437 million. So
there's no lack of cash in F1. But I found it very interesting the fact that Renault did as well as they did on as small a budget
to win the world championship on half of the Toyota budget. And what did Toyota? What place did they come into?
I think they finished fifth or sixth in constructors.
Right.
And they had a couple podiums, but they didn't win a race.
No, of course not. They're still waiting for that.
Yeah, and the way they're spending the money hand over fist but not getting anywhere with it.
Exactly.
Going to be looking for a while.
Exactly. So they've got 2 weeks to get their act together, and I know they were very disappointed with the testing, even though I'm sure they got a lot of good data out of it, tire development. Also, the word out... Michelin is still up front above Bridgestone. Fisichella says Michelin is really kicking butt. All the Michelin shod cars. And what I find interesting is now Super Aguri is, not exactly doing a lot of laps, but when they're capable, Super Aguri is going to be running Bridgestones. They got the big Honda name on the back.
I saw that.
And Honda's going to be running Michelins. I mean, that is the biggest conflict.
Very, very odd that would be the case. Another thing back to the tires is that there were actually two analysts from both sides of the fence in F1, and both were saying that the Michelins appear to have the advantage.
Apparently so, but it's still, I think Bridgestone can gain a lot of data through their association with Super Aguri via the underground tunnel from Super Aguri's place to Honda's place.
Well, I think it's a foot in the door for Honda.
Know.
Well, we were talking at the end of last season that Michelin might be gone after this season.
Well, they are gone.
When they go to the single tire supplier, and Michelin doesn't want that job.
Exactly. Michelin is out.
So maybe this is Honda's way of kind of...
It's pretty sneaky.
Building up some Bridgestone
data. But you know what? I haven't heard Michelin complain about it. I haven't heard Bridgestone complain about it because Bridgestone, it's a two-way street in terms of data exchange, so...
I would think that Michelin might be a little bit leery in the fact that, maybe Honda be feeding...
I don't know, but they're sharing data for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Now, obviously an old Arrows 2002 A23 chassis is not going to give you that much, but in terms of tire development, it could shed a little light on it.
Because they could, if you're thinking, it's basically a Honda engine with a Honda transmission.
Exactly.
Patched into that Arrows car, so it's that rear end is pretty much the same as the Honda car, more or less.
I think so, too. I agree. Also, the big Schumacher talk all week is Schumacher could start his F1 team. Him and Ross Braun, and now it's been denied by the spokeswoman for Schumacher. I can't recall her name right now, but she was in Bahrain with the Ferrari team, and she has denied these rumors and specifically states that this is definitely not something that Michael Schumacher is thinking about doing or has any desire to do.
I think the line was, it's one of those few things that he could be less interested in.
But I find that hard to believe. Every F1 driver, as the end comes, starts thinking about ways to stay in F1. And being a team principal is perfect. He's German. He's organized. He's got money. He's got knowledge. And with Ross Brawn, I could see him putting together not only a fantastic team, convincing a manufacturer to come along with them, and could you imagine the German fan base? Holy Toledo!
Actually, my opinion is Michael Schumacher is the next Bernie Ecclestone.
You're insane. No, he wouldn't do that. Maybe. I don't know.
Talk about the cash cow.
Jeez. Yeah.
Michael loved that. Look at all that money coming in. Molly made $407 million last year.
Very cool. Also, we had more Mansell. Nigel Mansell just doesn't stop speaking. He was talking about Button, Jenson Button. Nigel is saying that if Jenson Button has to get the win, and sooner the better, to get the monkey off his back. And to be honest, with the way the Honda's been running, the only thing that could stop Jenson Button is Rubens Barrichello. But Rubens Barrichello is a good, fair driver. I don't see him having the bump and run thing going on.
No, what'll happen is Takuma Sato will run him off the track.
There you go.
Tries to pass him.
So, we got to see Button win a race this year.
Be really nice just to kind of see him get it out of the gate, just to get it out of the way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Kinda.
Well, and the British fan base, they need a Brit winning some races. And they've got all the support. Okay, going back to McLaren. McLaren, all sorts of problems. Norbert Hogg crying about the V8. Mercedes admitting the V8 has many problems. They'll be going to a Rev C pretty soon.
For kaboom.
But I think they're sandbagging. I think there's something sneaky here because Raikkonen has been flying a couple of days ago.
Yeah, well, last Thursday's cast, he was top dog.
Really?
Okay. In Valencia, I believe.
I'm going to keep an eye on those guys. I don't trust them.
They're going to have to be sandbagging. But I think their issue is going to be maybe they're going to get their motor going fast, but how long can it survive?
I agree. Apparently,
how many times?
Apparently, they can't. They very rarely let the motor go to 19,000 RPMs. They've been holding it back at 17.5 because of dependability issues. And we'll see. And Kimi Raikkonen is not one to, like, hold back.
Okay, well, he'll start popping off if things continue to be a problem.
Exactly.
With the motor.
And Norbert, I think Mercedes knows he's off to Ferrari for sure if McLaren can't make a good season out of this. Today, I read that Bernie thinks that going to the V8s now was a big mistake. I love this stuff. Bernie, you made me happy when you said that because I agree with you completely. Bernie said that all we had to do was restrict the V10, save millions of dollars in development, and we still would have had a great season.
Or just leave them at V10s unrestricted. What the heck? Who really?
Bernie, if only you had spoken to Max last year and convinced him of this, I think you're right. I think the development of the V8 has cost a lot more money than anybody anticipated, and it's going to cost a lot more money, especially with the bigger teams like Mercedes, who aren't up to snuff. The millions will keep pouring in like oil with a bad leak. So there you have it.
Teams like Toyota that, you know, have got $500 million to just blow. And that's not the only place that they're spending money on racing. They must have spent over $1 billion last year in racing.
Well,
jeez.
Yeah, that's true because they are involved and they just joined the Craftsman Truck Series. Not that I know very much about that. They're going into NASCAR next year with a Camry. The team will be owned by Red Bull. Toyota is everywhere. But you know what? They got the money.
Yeah. Well, and not only that, they're really big in the off-road series.
They're big in the United States. They sell everywhere. You go to any third world country, the most popular little truck you see is a Toyota. Toyota has done what Ford, GM, and Chrysler are incapable of doing. Producing great cars at a reasonable price.
Reliable cars.
So, there you have it. Renault has proposed to Max an F1 freeze of the regulations for at least 3 years. Yay. Now, I find that interesting because people are saying that Renault is going to bail pretty soon, but then they are asking for an F1 regulations freeze.
Well, maybe that would be a precursor to them sticking around.
Absolutely. Well, they'll stick around if everything becomes reasonable.
And more stable. You know, they're succeeding on a limited budget. You know, I can't see where Mosley's getting off beating on the manufacturers. You know, I understand. Yeah, sure, Toyota's just pouring money hand over fist in. But Renault's budget is probably not that much greater than, say, Red Bull's probably spending more money than they are.
Oh, Red Bull is spending more money than they are right now.
You know, they're probably not that far behind the likes of a Williams.
Flavio Briatore has always been a fairly frugal man in terms of running a team, going back to the Benetton days of the 90s with when Michael Schumacher won the...
his first championship.
Exactly. So, in 94, and then when they went to the Renault V10 in 95.
Which is yet another reason why he didn't pony up the money for Fernando.
Exactly.
You know,
even though he says Fernando never asked him, there is no way Renault's going to pay big bucks for a driver, which leads me into Juan Pablo Montoya is definitely, I don't think, ever going to be a Renault driver. I don't care how bitchy Telefonica gets.
Well, what's going to end up
happening? Unless Telefonica pays for half of his salary.
Exactly. Telefonica's going to have to pony up the money to cover.
I don't see
the
it.
The check. And again, it also depends, too. Okay, is Fizzy going to be there next year? We pretty much know Kovalainen is on the inside track for Fernando's seat.
He is. And he's cheap right now. Oh. And he's a decent driver. I mean, don't get me wrong. We'll see what happens in the first race in terms of who's up front, who's not up front. But I say Kovalainen's got the seat next year. Okay, so we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in 60 seconds. Hi, I'm Clark Rogers, host of F1Weekly.com's podcast. Please visit our website, F1Weekly.com, your fresh new destination for all your Formula One needs. F1Weekly.com brings you a weekly podcast that covers the latest news, rumors, and insightful commentary related to the pinnacle of modern motorsports, Formula One. You can find us on iTunes and other popular podcast locations. F1Weekly.com. Thank you. Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host, and I'm joined by Steve Falb, my co-host. I want to read a quick spot here from our friends. MeccaOfSpeed.com, your source for champ car and road racing photography. Desktops, interviews, and editorials, our goal is to bring you the full spectrum of motorsports, including art, hand-built die-cast cases, racing personalities, and answers to the not-so-common questions. We invite all racing enthusiasts to join our forum for both enthusiastic debates and light-hearted insights on the world of racing. Don't be a wanker. Turn right. MeccaOfSpeed.com. Steve, you have some listener email for us today?
Yeah, actually we got quite a bit this week, but we're only going to stick to three. We got some interesting ones, some good feedback. We're getting a lot of good feedback. We've had a couple of people give us a couple little good pointers, but we'll jump to the first one. First one's from Bill Harris, and we sort of think Bill's from Canada by his email address. I just listened to your latest F1 podcast. Very impressed. I've been looking for a show that covers F1, and I was very impressed with your show. I had been listening to a couple of them that came from England, but they have not updated since the last race of the season. I've tried the other F1 podcasts from a couple of other guys from the States, but yours is better. Keep up the good work, or keep up the great work. I look forward to hearing more leading up to the start of the new season. Bill.
Thanks, Bill. Appreciate the compliment. We do make a big effort to bring you the best in Formula One podcasting. Steve, go ahead.
Well, our next one is from something of a celebrity in the F1 world. This next one is from Wes in Perth of Western Australia. Hi, F1 Weekly guys. My name is Wes Metcalf, and I am the owner of TotalF1.com, the premier F1 news portal. Last week, one of our former regulars, AutoRacer5, wrote in a thread that you guys mentioned him in your podcast, so I thought I would check it out. I had never listened to a podcast before, but I downloaded your latest episode, uploaded it to my iRiver, and had a listen on my way to work. And you know what? I really enjoyed it. It was refreshing to hear a couple of American guys and Desiree talking about F1 with such passion, especially after the debacle that was the 2005 U.S. Grand Prix. I still shake my head every time I think about that. Anyway, I thought I would drop you a line and say, keep up the good work, and I look forward to your future podcasts in the build-up to and during the 2006 season. It will be a fantastic compliment to all the print and web media coverage. Best regards from Down Under and Roll On Bahrain, Wes Metcalf, TotalF1.com, Perth, Western Australia. Thanks, Wes. That's a great mail. We'd love to hear from what amounts to an F1 media professional.
Excellent. We don't mind plugging other people's stuff. So go to TotalF1.com, I suppose.
Yeah, I checked it out. It's a nice site. He's got some great news feeds.
Really?
He's got a pretty huge forum. And he's actually running a pick the pole and podium contest with like $500 in prizes.
Really?
So...
Excellent. Keep up the good work, Wes.
I think I'll sign up for that this weekend when I have a little more time.
Very good.
The next one is from our buddy John over at Mecca of a Speed. The subject of the mail was 30. And, hey, F1 Weekly guys. No, the subject is not my age. I blew past that a while ago. I've got you the 30-second spot that you just heard Clark read. It may well be 27 seconds, but it's all in the pace. I told a couple of people here about the spot on your podcast, and they are fired up. I'm proud to say I turned them on to your podcast, and they have become loyal listeners. Thank you, John. F1 Weekly has become a part of my morning routine in the office. You're doing a great mix of casual conversation backed up with accurate news and facts. Did you know the Red Bull driver search is currently on the shelf? They have boosted the career of so many young drivers, but they don't have openings higher up to put them, so it's been put on hold. They're a victim of their own success. And then, with all the talk of Scott Speed getting a ride because he is an American, has everyone forgot about the other drivers getting rides because of where they come from? Bringing a sponsor is part of the game in F1. It never seems to be an issue. The general American approach has always been you bring the talent and the sponsor will find you. There's also the complaint that American drivers can't find the backing to run in open-wheel cars. Scott Speed finds the backing, drives his butt off, and now we have a driver from Brazil whining. To me, sounds like sour grapes. And then, what would young Senna do? Get in an outclassed car and still kick people's butts. At times I miss the mid-80s and late 80s. Keep up the good work, John at Mecca of a Speed.
I like John.
Yeah. Thanks,
John. John is a very articulate, intelligent person, knows racing through and through, and they have a great website, mechaofspeed.com. Check it out. I like their attitude, and they always have good facts. There's no BS at their website, and John always has good facts in his emails, and we're always glad to support quality racing supporters. So there you have it. But anyway, thanks, Steve, for the emails. We're running out of time. We're going to go ahead and wrap it up. We want to get some more feedback on our Radar podcast button. Go to our front page. Please rate the podcast. We need that for data and just to know that we should be doing another one. Also, take the survey on the front page of the website. No need to give any personal information, but we need this survey to bring in advertisement. They want a lot of facts and data, and I know it's a long survey, but we really appreciate your time and effort. Also, if anyone is interested in cross-promotion, either through our podcast or F1Weekly.com's website, please contact us. Go to contact page and info@f1weekly.com or any of the other contacts. You can contact Steve, Clark, David, or Desiree. And also, you can check us out on iTunes, Podcast Nova, Podcast Alley, and Yahoo Podcast. And I do want to mention our website will be going through some construction pretty soon. We're trying to get a more professional and easier to a website that's easier to navigate for our listeners, because we know right now it's just sort of it's a little bit amateurish, and bear with us. F1weekly.com will become a top-notch website very soon, Steve. What do you think about that?
I'm seriously looking forward to that, since the original design is mine.
Exactly. My point. But anyway, Steve, everybody, it's just three of us, Dave, Steve, and Clark Rogers, me, and Desiree came on later on as a correspondent. But we've all put in a lot of work on this, so hopefully we'll be getting the website updated in about a month or so. If it's not going to happen before the race, I doubt it, but keep up the good work. Also, stay tuned on the next podcast. We'll have another segment of My Trivia Podcast. Great stuff. More great questions. So,
and also, give us some feedback on that.
Give us some feedback on
like
My Trivia Podcast.
If you hate it, let us know. We need to know. We actually haven't heard anything back about it.
Well, we've gotten a couple of emails. They were positive, but we need more. So if you like the trivia, let us know, and we're going to put more on until somebody says no. There you have it. Steve, I'm done.
Yay. Oh, sorry.
That's all right. Okay, and I don't know if you could tell, but David Tapia, our producer, was not part of this podcast. He's out on a business trip, and occasionally we have to wing it. So bear with us. Some of the podcasts without Dave will sound a little rougher, but we try to keep a certain level of professionalism nevertheless. Good night, Steve.
Good night, Clark. Good night, Dave, wherever you might be.
This is Desiree for F1Weekly.com, thanking you, the subscribers and members of our listening audience, for listening to our podcast, reporting and commenting on Formula One, the highest echelon of motorsport, a blend of technology, tradition, glamour, and guts, all wrapped up in a high-speed package. That's F1Weekly.com for all your Formula One needs.